I remember something Brother Garner Smith said at a conference in Tacoma a few years back, and it kind of stuck with me. He loved good music. And he said this, he said, you know, it's really easy to tap your foot to some music. But he said, when it hits here, he goes, I want it to hit here before it hits my feet. And I can say tonight, it's hit here. I think we can go home right now and say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. It's been kind of like a reunion over at Ted and Sylvia's. Started yesterday with Howie and Debbie, and then continued into today with Vince and Vicki, and then Brother Bob and Sister Diane. I tell you know what? And Brother Lappy, it's just, I tell you, we've just been having great fellowship. Man, it's just been a great day, and Brother Dole Thomas, it's getting gooder and gooder. And I tell you, it has been good. We went and picked up a top sirloin today, and I used to cut meat for a while, and so I had a couple brethren there that wanted to see how to rightly divide a top sirloin. And so, when you cut meat for about 10 years, you don't forget it, you know. It's like riding a bicycle. You have to know what gristle and sinew to get rid of, right? I showed them about the grain and how you separate the pieces so that you get the grain, so you're cutting across grain. You know, today there's so much false teaching today. The Word of God is not being rightly divided. The Word of God tells us that we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And that's what we need. We need more of that today, don't we? Amen. I mean, things are waxing worse and worse. Amen. And it's getting ugly out there. Amen. You know, I'm kind of glad to see the separation. You know, things are starting to separate. Yeah. You know, they're going to end up going back to the mother, right?
You're right. Amen.
You know? The Word of God says, come out from among her and be separate, saith the Lord. Right? I'm so thankful that the Lord saved my soul, that He put me in one of the Lord's New Testament churches.
Amen.
Well, I tell you, there is nothing better. Amen. There is nothing better than to be saved and to be a member of one of the Lord's churches. This evening we'd like to read from 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, a very familiar scripture reading passage. In 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house, they bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. And King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the people dedicated the house of God. And the priests waited on their offices. The Levites also with instruments of music of the Lord, which David the king had made to praise the Lord, because His mercy endureth forever. When David praised by their ministry, and the priests sounded trumpets before them, and all Israel stood. Moreover, Solomon hollowed the middle of the court that was before the house of the Lord, for there he offered burnt offerings, and the fat of the peace offerings, because the brazen altar which Solomon had made was not able to receive the burnt offerings, and the meat offerings, and the fat. Also at the same time, Solomon kept the feast 7 days, and all Israel with him, a very great congregation from the entering in of Hamath unto the river of Egypt. And in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly, for they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. And the 23rd day of the 7th month he sent the people away into their tents, glad and merry in heart, for the goodness that the Lord had shown unto David and to Solomon and to Israel his people. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord, and the king's house, and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house, he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night, and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen the place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Let's pray. Our gracious and divine Heavenly Father, we do approach Thee once again this evening with thankful hearts. We're so thankful that we can call Thee Father tonight. And we're so thankful, Lord, for Your glorious working in our hearts and lives, calling us out of darkness into Thy marvelous light. We're so thankful, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, became sin for us. We're so thankful, Lord, for a Savior that saves. We're so thankful, Lord, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And Lord, we praise You this evening. We're so thankful this evening for Your goodness to us. We do pray that You would just bless, continue to bless, Lord, now in this service. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'd like to bring the message this evening from verse 14. I'd like to read it once again. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. We know that it was in David's heart to build a house for the name of the Lord of Israel. But we know what God told David in 2 Chronicles 6:8. The Lord said to David, for as much as it was in thine heart to build a house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. We see that the house was built, the glory of the Lord filled the house, and all Israel, a very great congregation, attended the dedication of the house of the Lord. It was a high time. It was a high time, or a great time for Israel. Amen. This is a high time, I believe, for God's people. When we come together around God's Word, I tell you, it's been a high time for me in preparing and getting ready, and preachers know what that's about. You see, we get a double blessing. Amen. Because we get to chew on this for a while, you know? I mean, there's just so many different directions that we can go, but yet, whatever direction we go, we're blessed of God. We're so blessed of God. It states here that the people were glad and merry. They were glad and merry in heart for the goodness that the Lord had shown unto David and to Solomon and to Israel, his people. We know that God, it states here that God spoke to Solomon and gave instructions how that great times could continue. This evening, our text verse, our theme is from Hebrews 11:6. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know, the Lord saved us. You know, He has given us a lot of instructions to go forward. The Christian life is a forward. It's a forward motion. It's going forward. We know that to be idle in the work of the Lord, we all are in the work of the Lord. To be idle in the work of the Lord is to grow stagnant.
Amen. That's right.
I guess we could put it another way. Lukewarm. And we know what the Lord said about that. Because I'd rather you be hot or cold, not lukewarm. I'll spew you out of my mouth. One of the rewards I believe that we have as God's people is that when we seek His face, when we seek Him with the whole heart, that we see Him by faith, we hear Him, as we already looked at this past week. You know, when we see the Lord, and when we hear from the Lord, it puts things in perspective.
Amen.
You know?
Right.
We know that there is so much confusion in the world. It's such a dark world. The Scriptures tell us that the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we, as God's children, God's people, we must be in the Word. We must be on our knees before God. And it's stated there. It states there the instructions that the Lord, that God gave to Solomon. He made it very clear what was needed for good times. And it's no different for us today. We know the passage, most probably know it by heart, where Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light."
Amen.
Jesus says, "Come unto me." What is coming unto Him? It's seeking His face. He said also this. He said, "Take my yoke upon you. Take my yoke upon you. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, take my yoke upon you." We know that the cares of this world can weigh us down. We know that sin weighs us down. But yoke to the Lord, the burden is lighter.
Amen.
And that's what He said. Jesus also said this. He said, "Learn of me." And what did He tell? What was He saying? What did He want us to learn of Him? He says, "I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest for your souls." We know the teaching that Jesus gave in Matthew, the 5th chapter. I would say that He took the church away from the multitude. He saw the multitudes. He goes, "You know what?" And He took the church away. I believe He took the church away. We know that He was in the church building business, right? "I will build my church," right? "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And He stated there, and He taught them in Matthew 5:3, He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed. Happy, right? Happy. You know, a life of vanity and a life of pride and vanity, that's not a happy life. Because it's not walking truth. It's not walking in truth. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." How important it is that we seek His face. You know, the first message was, we need to hear from the Lord. You know? It's blessed when the Lord saved us. We heard with the ear of faith. We saw with the eye of faith, right? We saw the Lord for the first time. And how very blessed
To continue on in that Christian walk and that Christian life, we must seek the Lord. We must seek Him. He has told us to seek Him. Our first point here from our text verse is we must humble ourselves and pray. And it must be constant in our lives. We know that pride is one of our wicked ways. To walk in pride is to live a lie. And pride comes when we fail to see the wretchedness of our own flesh. We're reminded of the Pharisee and the publican that went up into the temple to pray. There in Luke, the 18th chapter, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank Thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner."
Amen.
And I tell you, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Yeah. I mean, it's clear that the Pharisee was living a lie. He was living a lie. To live with pride in our lives, it is living a lie.
Amen.
Because there is no good thing that is in us. The publican, he spoke the truth. He said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." He knew his own depravity. He knew the great wickedness of his own heart. And he knew that he needed the mercy of God. In James 4, 6 through 10, it states, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resist the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Amen. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep, let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." It says that He giveth more grace. He giveth grace unto the humble. And it states in verse 7, He says, "Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you." It says, "Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Where do we find purification? Where do we go? It's to Christ. Don't we go? We go to the blood, right? We confess our sins. And we know that He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 10, "Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up." Proverbs 29:23 states, A man's pride will bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. As Isaiah 57:15 states, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones."
Amen.
I mean, how blessed, how very blessed that we are, that we can have communion with the Holy One.
Amen.
I mean, to be able to enter into the very presence of God. Sinners as we are, undeserving of the least of His mercies, we're allowed entrance.
Amen.
We're allowed to come boldly before Him. You see, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face." We know the Lord spoke to Ananias in a vision. The Lord told Ananias, to go to Saul, he said, he prayeth. I wonder if he had been praying the whole time. He prayeth. He's praying. And Ananias, you know, sometimes we're real silly, aren't we? It's like God didn't know what was going on. Lord, don't you know He's caused great persecution, you know? The Lord told him something that just took care of all that, right? He's a chosen vessel. He's a chosen vessel to bear my name before the Gentiles. Not only Gentiles, kings, right? And rulers. He also told Ananias, he said, I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Amen.
You know, we're not to think it's strange if we suffer for his name's sake. You know, what great suffering our Savior went through. And giving his life that we may have life and have it more abundant. The Lord God told Ananias, as already stated, behold, he prayeth. And he said in verse 14, and all that call on thy name, all that call on thy name. You know, I mean, we should always be calling upon the name of the Lord, right? I mean, He is our help. He is our present help in time of troubles. I mean, it's just amazing sometimes, you know, I get going and working that and I get, you know, I get distressed and distraught and cast down and I don't have to go through all that because the Lord is right there.
Amen.
He's there to help us. Some here most likely know that my dad grew up a Lutheran. And as a Lutheran, he was taught the Lord's Prayer. He was taught to pray before he went to sleep. Dad used to tell us after the Lord had saved him, well, when he preached, he said, you know, I used to rattle off the Lord's Prayer. And he'd tell, give his testimony about how he was invited, him and Mom were invited to a Christian church, and Sunday after Sunday, the Lord, the Holy Spirit was working in their lives, and tears were flowing. The tears were just coming down their cheeks, and the Lord was working in their hearts, their lives, and the Lord saved them. And I know Ted remembers this. After the Lord saved him, he said, you know, I could pray, my Father. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I don't know if Ted remembers it, but Dad received a letter from his mom before she died. I've gone to church my whole life. And she was lost without Christ. And she wrote in the letter, just as I am, without one plea. But that His blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, the Lamb of God I come. And she said in that letter, I come.
Amen.
I believe she's going to be there when Dad leaves. You know, I think about all the preachers and everybody else. But his mom is going to be, I believe his mom is going to be there to greet him. I think Dad carried that letter around wherever he went. You know, I mean, I tell you what. I mean, how blessed he was. I mean, he had a radio program back in Montana, North Dakota, and you know, I didn't hear of anybody else that had been saved back there. She come to know the Lord as her Savior.
Amen.
We know about the woman, the seller of purple, that's what she was called, Lydia, the seller of purple. And anyway, it says, and they went out by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. Where prayer was wont to be made. You always want to pray. You know what I'm saying? You always want to pray? That's the way it should be. You know, if we don't want to pray, then there's something wrong here. Right? Right? Better want to pray. Paul preached and she attended unto the word which was spoken of Paul. She attended unto the word. She attended unto the word. Working of the Holy Spirit within her heart and life. It was the power of God. It was by the power of God that she came to know the Lord by faith. She came to know the Lord because of the power of God. Holy Spirit took that word to her heart as He has with us. As Proverbs 15:8 states, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. Our theme, once again, this evening is God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If my people seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you know, one of the wicked ways is love for the world.
You're right, amen.
It is. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world, for all that is in the world, the lust of flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. But he that doeth the will of the Lord, will of God, abideth forever. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. As Proverbs 28:13 states, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he shall abundantly pardon. Yes, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. If my people, which are called by my name, shall seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven. And will forgive their sins and heal their lands. As Psalms 34:15 states, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. His eyes are upon us this evening.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that he cares for us. Aren't you thankful that he cares for you? His eyes are upon us.
Amen.
And his ears, they're open unto the cry. He says, I will forgive their sins. I will forgive their sins. But there is an order here, isn't there? There is a progression. There is an order. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins. So thank how wonderful that is. The forgiveness of sins. I mean, it was great in salvation. And it is great every day. To know that there what where sin abounds, that grace does much more abound. We know it doesn't give us a license to sin. Should we sin that grace may abound? And Paul makes it very clear, no, right? If we say that we have no sin, we call him a liar and his word is not in us. And 1 John the 2nd chapter begins with, my little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not.
You know, it seems, well, to the natural man, mind, it seemed like there's a contradiction there. Further down in 1 John, the second chapter. Whosoever is born of God doth not sin, right? For his seed remaineth in him because he cannot sin, right? We know there's no contradiction in God's word. That new man, praise God, this new man that's in us does not sin. It is perfect in his sight. We've been justified freely by his blood. This old wretched man of ours, though, it sins, doesn't it? It sins, and we better think this way. It sins more than I want it to sin. We know that scripture was not given to us to go easy on sin. You know? It is in our flesh. What did he say after he said, "Oh, wretched man that I am"? He said, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ." And then what did he say? "Then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. With the mind, what do? We seek His face, right? And He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Amen.
The flesh says, "Don't pray this morning." With the mind, I myself serve the law of God. I'm going to pray. I'm going to seek His face. I need the Lord.
Amen.
If we don't see we need the Lord every day, then we need the Lord, right? If we don't feel like praying, pray! We need to pray. We need to get before Him. You see, God rewards those that diligently seek Him, right? Diligently, right? I mean, if you just half-hearted about it, you know, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. If He is not Lord of all, He's not Lord at all, right? We have been bought with a price. No longer are we our own, right? We're His. And you know what? I'm thankful I'm His. I was once a servant of hell. I was a servant of darkness. And you know what? Satan is not our friend.
Amen.
He's the foe. He's the adversary. He's the wicked one.
Amen.
And he cares not for man's soul. But we have a Savior that cares.
Amen.
We have a God that loves us. And He loved us so much that He gave us His Son. Greater love is this. Greater love. There is no greater love than this. That a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I ask you. What a great love our Savior displayed. Love is displayed, isn't it? You know, you can mouth love, but you know, actions speak louder than words, right?
Amen.
We have reason to love, don't we, tonight?
Yeah.
We should be the most loving people in the face of the earth.
Right.
We should be the most joyous people in the face of the earth. We should be the most peaceful people on the face of the earth. Because we have the Spirit of God within. We have the Spirit of God. The fruits of the Spirit, we know. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Goodness, faith, meekness, right? You know, it's easy to say, "Lord, I confess my sins." You know, it's easy just to mouth it, you know. God goes, you know. I wonder how many times he prayed like that before he got right with the Lord.
Right.
You know, before God sent Nathan to him. I wonder how his prayer life was. Because he was in denial of sin.
Amen.
He wasn't in denial of sin in Psalm 51. Right? Nathan said, "You're the man," right? You know, sometimes that's hard to take from another brother. That's a brother that loves you.
Amen. You're right.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we go easy. We go too easy. There's a way in which we're to approach one that is down. Right? You don't kick them down, but you help them up. You try to help them up. In the spirit of meekness, we help others. But if we don't say anything, and I'm guilty. Sometimes family is the hardest to talk to. Sometimes the family is the hardest to confront. It's easy to say, well, they just know better. You know, we don't say anything. Does it send a message that I really don't care? You know? People are dying and going to hell. We got lost loved ones in our families. When was the last time that we called them up and said, I'm praying for your soul? You know, Dad, he used to hit it hard. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You know, if there's no compassion, there's no love, there's no concern, right? We need to remember, and we need to be constant reminded of what the Lord Jesus Christ did on our behalf.
Amen.
And His great love for our souls. And we need to be constantly reminded of that. And be reminded of souls that are dying and passing out into eternity. We know that God is going to save His own. But He has told us to go.
Amen.
He's told us to go. He's told us to give forth the word. You know, sometimes I just, you know, the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. I mean, the greatest thing that has ever happened to us is coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we could talk about a new car, or we could talk about a new house, or a new fishing pole, or a new golf club, and we could talk about all this. But what about the Savior who is new and fresh every day? Right? New and fresh every day. Are we excited about the Lord?
Amen.
Are we excited about what the Lord has done within our hearts and lives? You know, I mean, you know, I want to talk to your soul. I want to talk to you about the Lord. You know, I mean, if you don't have some excitement, there's not. I mean, if you don't have any enthusiasm about what you have in Christ, you know, no one's going to want that.
Right.
Well, we believe in the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, I believe in the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. But there is a general call that goes out. And we're part of that general call. You know? People need to hear the Word. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing. People need to hear. They need to hear the Word. In closing here in 2 Chronicles 7, verse 19, God speaks to Solomon. He says, but if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then I will pluck them up by the roots out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to everyone that passes by, so that they shall say, why hath the Lord done this unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshipped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. If ye turn away and forsake my statutes. God just tells them. God just lets them know right up front. That's no different for us, is it? We're His people, right? And the sheep of His pasture. I mean, there needs to be a fear of God, a reverential fear of God. There needs to be that within our churches, within our own lives. A reverential fear and awe of God. It's clear, and God makes it very clear, the importance of godly living.
Amen.
And what is godly living? You know, some are, you know, they're wanting to take the Ten Commandments or do it, taking down the law. They're taking down everywhere you know, the world doesn't want the law. They don't want the Word of God, right?
Amen.
We just need to keep holding it up, right? We just need to speak it more. We know what the law does, don't we? When God began to work in my heart, He brought the law home to my heart. The harder I tried to break off my sins, the more sin I saw. You know, the Lord showed me my need for a Savior. The law is a schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. Right? Not to Mount Sinai, but to Mount Zion, right?
Amen.
There are many today that are going to Mount Sinai. They're going to the law and they're thinking that everything's just fine and dandy. That's what the Pharisees were doing. Right? They're going to Mount Sinai. They're living on Mount Sinai. And they couldn't see Christ. And we see Him tonight because of the effectual working of the Holy Spirit within our lives. We see Him by faith. We'll close this evening by just saying that God, He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him.
Thank you, Brother Jim, for another message from God's Holy Word. Thankful for another evening that the Lord has given us that we can gather together here and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. As you that are members of this church, you probably see some things that are familiar. And you probably know that we love our daddy. And think very highly of that man. He wasn't a great man, but he was a great warrior. He was one who loved the Lord. One who loved to witness and tell people about Jesus Christ. I would guess that our father had more friends in South Park and buried more people in South Park than any of the other preachers in the area. Why? Because my dad was a friend to them all. He might have bugged them some. He might have been an aggravation to them. But I'll tell you what, when they had a spiritual need, you know who they looked up? You know who they came to? And when their families lost that one or another, you know who they went to ask to bury their family member? Glenn Tweed. Why? Because Glenn Tweed cared. And I'm not preaching my dad. What I'm saying is trying to give us the idea that is what we should do. He was an example to us. And I'm going to say one more thing about this. One time in a family reunion, very few I ever made over the years I was in Honduras, but one time I was there, and my sister, who